B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
Okay, ready to talk about some nerd stuff?
Sure. I'm ready.
All right, cool.
I'm all fired up, man. My computer's not working, so I'm heated.
Oh, great.
I'm heated. Like I'm
just
hot.
I'm just tired and crabby, so we got quite the pair over here.
Dude, I'm tired and crabby, too, and I'm all heated because my damn computer, I don't know how long it's going to take to edit.
Oh, man, this is going to be a show.
A mono channel, low quality MP3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is the episode, Nerd Radio, the episode where James and Al kill each other.
I don't have any rage towards you.
It's like the end of Rocky. Do the punch.
The punch that hits both of them.
Ding, yeah. Ding. Yeah.
Little do they know, I've already started the show. How's it going, guys?
Hey, I thought we were just...
I had a feeling. Partway through all that, when James and I are talking about being unhappy, I had a feeling, like, all right, well, the show's already started.
He's not feeling it. James, let's
what's going on, man?
Let's talk about something that was fun.
Yeah, man, Astronomicon.
Exactly.
Yeah, man, what a blast this weekend.
We had some time, man.
Yeah,
you were throwing poop
I had listeners tossing turds in toilet seat helmets for prizes.
You got to meet was it Darren McCarty?
Yeah, Darren McCarty was in there. I was checking out the con.
Photobombed everyone's photos.
Yeah, which is weird because like he like walks in and he must just recognize our station because we're the big station in Detroit for rock music.
Yeah,
and I know we've done stuff with him in the past and all that, but like he like walked by and I'm like, hey, it's Darren McCarty. So I'm like, hi, and he like stopped and looked at me like he recognized me. He's like, hey, and I'm like, oh, does Darren McCarty know who I am?
He's famous and he knows
I'll
who
bet
I
you
am.
He does, dude.
And then he like stops and like him kind of walks over and I'm like, hi. I loved watching you play hockey when I was young.
Yeah.
Motor City Blood Brawl. That was the greatest. And he's like, thank you. And then it was really awkward. And I'm like, can I get a picture? It was real weird. I don't know. I'm like, what am I doing right now?
That's awesome.
He probably does know who you are, though. That's the thing about Darren. Darren listens to the station, though.
Okay.
You know, like he came in here for Meltdown interviewed him on the old version of his podcast.
Right.
You know, and I do the news segment on Meltdown's thing. So he's like, yeah, Darren's coming in. And, you know, he's a rock guy. So why don't we have him in for news and then he can bounce stuff off. So why don't you hang out for the whole interview, too? I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I hadn't met him before. And he's like most of the radio station has met him at this point. So whatever. And so I'm sitting in here and he brings him in. And Meltdown introduced him to me, he goes, D-Mac, this is Al, and he stepped up and goes, Beck, hey, I listen to you.
Oh,
so
wow.
He did know who I was.
Nice. Cool.
We had never met. He didn't have any reason to recognize me, but no, he listens to the station. He probably knew who you were.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah. But same thing, though. I watched him, that 97 Cup.
Yeah.
Like, I was super into hockey back then, so it's I've met people, and I really don't typically care about meeting people, but that one was kind of cool. Because I was like a superhero from my childhood.
Oh, sure.
Life, you know?
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy I watched beat the crap out of whatever Lemieux, whatever that dude from the Avalanche
was.
Claude Lemieux.
Yeah, Claude Lemieux. Yeah. The guy that was a Draper into the boards?
Yep.
And then,
put him in the hospital
for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I remember that game.
Yeah.
Because the girl that I was dating at the time, she went to the game. Her brother was a diehard Colorado fan.
Yeah.
And he was getting it bad.
Yeah.
He's a kid. You know, he's a kid, like an elementary school age kid with a Avalanche jersey on, and like grown adults are just like throwing cigarettes at him and stuff. So I feel bad for that. But I just remember watching that game on TV and you just see
just everybody.
The goalies were fighting, okay?
Yes.
The goalies,
yeah.
Patrick, out of the net. Patrick Waugh comes out of the net and Mike Vernon goes, I don't think so. And they meet in the middle and the goalies are brawling with each other. Lemieux is turtled up on the ice while Darren McCarty's beating the crap out of him. And the entire, everybody on the ice is just
pummeling
each other.
Like, one of the greatest hockey games I've ever seen. I remember I had the video. I videotaped it because they had a replay of it. And I put it in the VCR and recorded it. And I pulled the tab off the VHS.
Over this again.
And my dad's like, why the hell did you take the tab off this VHS? You need to record something. I'm like, you're not recording over
my
living
this tape.
Yep. you're not recording over this game. And I don't know where that tape is anymore. So
yeah.
A lot of good it did me.
I think that fight might have been in the Hockey Town video. I definitely had that. You know, the VHS.
Yep.
The VHS tab. That's a great callback right there.
Did he not hilarious. Know you could just put scotch tape over it?
Don't tell him that.
Well,
what if he finds it? You tape over it.
I think it's on YouTube, James.
Yeah.
True. Fair enough. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not a big sports guy, and I know this is kind of a stepping outside of our normal nerd radio stuff, but that is my favorite rivalry ever in all of sports is
Red
the Wings
Avalanche?
And Avalanche,
yeah.
Late 90s, early 2000s, because there's rivalries that are based on just history. You know, like another great one is University of Michigan and Ohio State, because that kind of even goes back to the state of Michigan and the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like, so there's history there, and most rivalries are just like, we're in the same division, so we hate each other.
Yeah.
Right.
But that one was real because Lemieux put there Draper into the boards, yeah,
right.
And
there
he put him in the hospital,
incident.
And McCarty was like, F that, I'm taking him out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was personal.
Yeah. As soon as the game started.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was like maybe 20 seconds into the puck drop. Next thing you know, there's a whole brawl going down.
Yeah.
And it continued through the whole game up and through like the second period. And then finally, I think they got it under control. They're probably like, people are going to get suspended or kicked out of the NHL
right.
if you guys keep acting like
if
this.
We can't put your entire team in the penalty box.
Yeah,
you guys
exactly.
got to settle down.
At the same time.
Yeah,
Scotty Bowman's having a damn heart attack.
Yeah, could have just rolled 5 minutes off of the clock and said, all right, we're all good.
We've got about three guys from the third string left. Everyone else is piled up in a penalty box like a clown car.
It was 3-on-3 amateur hockey for a couple of periods.
Yeah. Right.
But to bring it back to Nerd Radio, in my 13 years almost of working here, and the people that I have met, only twice have I been like, oh, that was cool. It was Darren McCarty, partially also because he knew me, and also Stone Cold Steve Austin. And both,
you met Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I did meet Stone Cold. And it was the same reason, because it was like a superhero from my childhood coming to life. And I met a few other wrestlers like, you know, Sergeant Slaughter, Jimmy Hart. You know, there's a few that I met over my but it was Stone Cold.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In that Attitude Era, man, coming in there and just, you know, stunnering Vince McMahon every single night and driving the Zamboni in and hitting the ring and the beer truck and all that stuff. Like, that was cool meeting him. You know what I mean? So, like, that's...
I felt real weird because, like, I said hi to Darren. Like, I tried to be... social and but like for one thing I couldn't remember it was Darren McCarty. I couldn't remember which one.
Yeah. Like, I know you're a Mr. Hockey player, man, but I don't know your name, sir.
That's how far outside the sports realm it was for me. And like everybody wanted a picture with it. I'm like, no, I'm cool. It's you know, I'm happy you're here. I hope you have a good time, man. But I don't
You know, it's like that guy just put a spit cup down on the table.
I know. I was like, is that Chew?
Yes,
is that a spit cup?
He's like, let me put my cup down for the photo, and I'm like. Oh, he's Chew's. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. I guess it's better than smoking, maybe? No, I don't know.
So, right.
Nah, it's all not good.
Yeah, no.
But anyways, back to the realm of nerdness. AstronautCon was a blast.
Yeah,
man.
Outside Darren McCarty, there was, I think, everybody got to meet Dee Snider as well, which was super cool. Everyone said he was great.
Dude, I was really impressed with Dee Snider, to be honest. Like, I didn't actually get to meet him. I was actually hosting wrestling trivia at the time when he came over to the Rift table.
Right.
But just for him to come over to the table and be cool, the promo crew, usually nobody gives a crap. I've been on the promo crew. Nobody gives a crap about the promo crew, usually. You just feel so worthless.
Yeah.
And for him to come over and talk to those guys, it'd be super cool. And then bring them back to his booth, take pictures, and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Listening to him do interviews, like with Anne, earlier.
On Friday.
Yep. Like, I never thought he would be so well-spoken and, like knowledgeable as to what's going on. He knew the AstronautCon.
You know?
Like, I was blown away. Like, he knew his AstronautCon.
Yeah.
He knew our station, like our home station here. He knew so much about everything that was going on. It made me a Dee Snider fan.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'll go listen. He's got a new album coming out. I'll listen to it on Spotify or something, and I'll give it a spin just to see what it sounds like, just because I was so impressed with his whole personality and how he was.
For sure. The Detroit Ghostbusters had quite the setup.
Oh, that was cool, man. Yeah, they got the green screen where you can, like, they put you in some of the movies and little proton packs and traps.
They give you some of the gear, and then they on the back of the green screen, they'll put, the scene from the movie, like Slimer in the hallway,
in the hotel,
and you get to take a picture with it, and then they email it to you as an MP4.
Yeah, and
so.
They got like the pink blob coming out of the bathtub from Ghostbusters 2, and
they even had stuff from Answer the Call.
Yeah,
it was super cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. They can send you the video file to your email, like Because, like, you know, you used to do that before, and then you'd have to, like, put an address down or whatever the case was. It'd be such a pain in the ass. You'd mm-hmm. probably never get your video or your,
right.
your photo.
Right.
But now it's like, I'll email it to you right now.
Yep.
Or, you know, or phone companies will set up those phone booths or whatever, or the photo booths. And boom, there you go. Right yeah. to your phone.
Yeah. Well, that's like the newest thing they had, because a lot of the stuff I've seen they had before, but they had everything out. Like, they had the proton packs from every movie, just sitting out, and they were lit up, and they were doing stuff. They had a giant Marshmallow Man blow-up dude.
Yeah, of course.
They had the old arcade game, The Real Ghostbusters, sitting there, set to free play. You could just sit down and play it, and then they had a table that had all the gear that they've made, like the PKE meter, and even stuff from, like, the cartoon. And it was quite the setup.
Yeah,
it was
real, a great setup.
It was always fun
hanging out with those guys. They're at all the local cons here too.
Yeah, they usually stop by my comic store for a free comic day.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Good group of dudes, those guys. Yeah,
absolutely,
I like the Detroit Ghostbuster guys.
It did look like a good time. I was seeing a bunch of on both of you. The posts and stuff like that, and of course Nerd Radio. You were out there. You were posting on the Instagram and stuff.
Yep.
So Nerd Radio 101.
Yeah, it's the only time our Instagram goes live. Basically,
yes, during a con,
I'm at a con and taking pictures of cosplayers.
Perfect.
For it.
But yeah, you can find us there on Twitter as well, Nerd Radio 101, and give us a follow.
Follow that.
Yeah.
I was not aware that we had an Instagram.
We're about to get a new follower.
Yeah, he's slightly embarrassed.
Yeah. One of the co-hosts.
That's going to pop up on my phone.
This week I've been embarrassed.
Okay. Let me make you feel good, James.
Thank you.
Because my first embarrassment was the Darren McCarty thing, where I'm like, I know he's a Red Wing, but I don't remember which one. Okay. So I talked to Ming Chen last week.
Yeah, Ming.
He's great, dude.
He's also a listener of our home station, 101 WRIF.
Absolutely. And then last year, he was one of the people that I talked to ahead of Astronomicon. So last year, I talked to Ming Chen, and we get to Astronomicon, me and Amy, and we're walking around. And I'm like, I'm just going to go say hi. It doesn't look like he's got anybody at his table. I'm just going to go say hi. So I walk up to Ming's table. Have you heard this story?
No.
Are you laughing? Okay. So I walk up to his table. And I was like, hey, it's I'm Chuck Bean from Nerd Radio. And the guy that's at his table that looks fairly Asian is like, oh, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, it's cool, Ming. And so he's like, no, I'm not Ming.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
And that's when I found out I'm racist.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Chuck thinks all the Asians all look alike. Oh, my Lord.
Amy hasn't let me live it down.
Oh, man.
It's been a year.
Oh, and you could have kept that your little secret.
Yes.
Now it's out on the podcast.
Yeah, well,
wonderful. My embarrassing moments were, I admitted, so I have a casual gamer that just got posted, episode just posted at WRF.com. And I'm doing a review of a new game called Apex Legends.
Sure.
And I admitted in my review that I had a hard time getting through the tutorial.
Oh,
and
no.
Like,
yeah, well.
Because I'm talking about the game. It's kind of complicated for me. I guess I'm getting old. I don't know. But the game's a little complicated for me. It's overly complicated, I feel. It's a fun game. It's okay. But I felt like it was overly complicated. And I was like, I even had a hard time completing the tutorial. And then I was like, and that was embarrassing. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave that in the review.
Yeah. Might as well.
That's the most honest statement I could say about the whole thing.
I like the epiphany as you're saying it for the video. And I saw you just relive it because you just got you sagged a little bit when you said it. You're like, oh, man.
I'm like, the tutorial is supposed to be set up for you to win.
Yeah.
Just to learn the basic controls of the game. And I probably spent 3 times as much as any normal gamer on the tutorial because I'm like, I can't get my special ability to launch. I don't know what's happening.
Right. We talked about it at Astronomicon because we both had the same problem.
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell, man?
So there's supposed to be a certain area I'm supposed to press the button on or what?
And then I still don't even know how it ended up working, but
don't know
how.
I did talk to Micah and Katie from Paranormal Activity. So you guys are going to hear from them next. Nerd Radio returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This just in. Flash. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all ships at sea. Nerd Radio is taking the country by storm.
This is Nerd Radio.
That's right, it's Nerd Radio live from Astronomicon at the Wyndham Gardens with longtime friend of the show, Mr. Tony Miello.
What's up?
You've got your table here, The Art of Tony Miello, and you were telling me, I wanted to inform our listeners, of a Kickstarter that you're currently working on. Give us the 411.
We just launched it this weekend. It's the book is from my publishing company, Rocketing Studios. It's called Odd Tales from the Curio Shop, and it stars the one and only Brian O'Halloran from Clerks. And essentially, there'll be six tales of odd objects. And these tales are kind of in a Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt type vein. Brian plays the shopkeeper who has all these weird items in his curio shop. And when the reader comes into the shop, he shows them the items and tells them the tale.
So how did you, like, how did you get Brian O'Halloran to do this? What was the...
I'm a longtime friend of Brian's from my days of promoting Detroit Fanfare. And we were just hanging out one time, and I had this idea, and I said, "Hey, Brian, you want to star as the character in a comic?" And he's like, "Absolutely."
How much input does he have in the book?
He is helping us with promotion, and that's pretty much it. He's not writing anything. He's just he gave lent us his likeness. He looks over any drawings I do for him.
Sure.
Make sure that they're not...
Make sure you get his best side.
Yeah, I get his best side, right. So, he kind of excited. He really likes the idea of being part of this and kind of being immortalized in the book. And
that's awesome.
And if you contribute to the Kickstarter, you'll be able to get items signed by him as well. So.
Awesome. Now, where can people find the Kickstarter online?
You go go to Kickstarter and just look for the art of... not the art. Look for... Odd Tales from the Curio Shop, or you can go to Rocket Ink Studios' Facebook page, and there'll be links there.
That's awesome, Tony. One of the other things I wanted to let our listeners know about that you're working on, you've got your Gappo the Clown character.
Correct,
you've been
doing
for years and years and years. You're doing a special, like, Valentine's Day shindig with Gappo the Clown.
February 16th at the Silver Ballroom in Wyandotte, Michigan, we are doing Valentine's Day with Gappo the Clown. Gappo will be live in the bar that night. He'll be reciting some romantic poetry for the crowd, and I'm sure there'll be drunken shenanigans to be had. So.
Now, for people that aren't familiar with Gappo the Clown, you want to give them a heads up what they can expect.
This is not your this is not Bozo. No. This is not for kids. This is more sophomoric humor or a very adult twist. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially the more whiskey Gappo drinks. So,
it's always great to see you at these conventions, man.
Great seeing you, Chuck.
And it's, this is the second Astronomicon. Last year, you guys did real well.
Yeah,
right?
It was a really good show. I mean, this place is packed with people. I mean, look at this line.
Yeah.
These are just people here to see Twisted.
Right, and thankfully this year we don't have a whole bunch of snow that we had to get.
Right, yeah, we're not dealing with 3 feet of snow and
ice.
Right,
it's cold, but, we can deal
with
cold.
I'll take the cold, as long as I don't have to, drive in that slush.
Right, for sure. Well, thanks for talking to me, Tony.
Hey, thanks, Chuck.
We'll keep up with you on our Facebook page. We'll share the link to the Kickstarter.
Cool, awesome.
All right, Nerd Radio coming back.
This is Nerd Radio.
Okay, magic cards, go.
Magic cards, they're pieces of cardboard, and we play them on the ground, and people play cards against you, and first one go down to 20 wins from 20.
All right, thanks for listening to Nerd Radio, and we out.
That's all we got.
We're back on Nerd Radio here at Astronomicon with both Micah and Katie from Paranormal Activity, one of quite possibly the scariest movies I have ever seen. I enjoy a scary movie myself. How's the convention treating you guys?
Oh, the convention's great.
Yeah, everybody's been super nice. It's really well run. The fans are great. It's been a fun weekend so far.
Do you guys do a lot of conventions?
No, this is actually our first one together, and I think each of us individually have only done a couple.
Yeah, this is the first time appearing together in 10 ever. But for the 10-year anniversary of Paranormal Activity. So this is why we decided to do it, and it's been a great time. This convention's great. I mean, there's a ton of awesome people here, really great people appearing, and it's very well organized and run. So we've been to enough to know this is a good one.
Now, obviously, people know you most famously from the Paranormal Activity movie. Was horror something that both of you or either of you sought out specifically, or something you just kind of fell into?
I didn't. I mean, when I auditioned for Paranormal Activity, it was my very first year in L.A. Before that, I'd been studying acting in college, so I was super new to the game, and, it wasn't something I sought out specifically, but I've always loved it. Growing up, I loved scary movies, so it was something I was pretty excited about.
Excellent.
Yeah, and for me, I sort of fell into it. I wasn't looking specifically to do horror, just looking to make good projects. And lucky to find Oren Peli and make this movie.
when you guys were making it, what was the feeling on set? Did you kind of have an idea of what you were, like, we're doing something really cool here kind of thing?
We wanted to make a movie that we could be really proud of. So that was our goal. I don't think any of us really had any inclination that it would be that 10 years later we'd be sitting here talking to you, for sure.
Right.
But the vibe on set was really joyful. Like, the three of us really worked well together as a team. There was a lot of trust, a lot of love, a lot of creativity, and I just could not, in my deepest heart of hearts, could not be more grateful for Warren and for Mika and for that time together.
Yeah, I can't say, agree with like all the stuff that she said much, and then I would also add that it's not like the specific way that we were creating the film, because it was improvisational dialogue and because it was a very free form, we didn't have a traditional script. It was a very creative, very positive environment for creative people to sit in and to work with. So it was kind of a miraculous experience that we tried to recapture in the later films, and I think we succeeded to some extent, but we never really had that super independent, low-budget vibe when we were shooting, a Paramount Studio movie. So something special about the first one.
The absolute terror of the ending sequence where you can hear Katie coming up the stairs and you're just staring at that black doorway and then your body comes flying at the camera. Terrifying.
Oh,
absolutely,
yeah.
Terrifying. Haunted me for at least a week.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ooh,
that
ooh.
Scene was really difficult to shoot because when I was flying through the air, I was suspended by a harness, and they were having trouble to get the harness to work properly. So I'm suspended in the air for many hours.
You mean she didn't just heft you up and just give you a toss?
I'm very strong, even in real life.
So it was sort of like, we were still low budget even during the reshoots, so we didn't exactly have anyone like watching out for me and make sure I wasn't.
Sure.
And I was like almost passed out from the fact that my lungs were being slowly crushed.
Right.
So we put the sweat and blood into it to make it worthwhile.
Well, we thank you guys for coming to Detroit for Astronomicon, and thank you for the work you did, on the Paranormal Activity movies.
Thank you. We're happy to be here, man. We love Michigan, love Detroit. This is a great convention. You guys should come and check it out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Hope you cleared out your DVR. We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Oh, I've wasted my life.
All right, so Nerd Radio right here on the HD 2 station, Riff 2, as well as on the podcast page, WRIF.com, and wherever you get in your podcasts, part of the B-Pod Studios Network. Al Beck, James, real quickly this week, I want to go over a couple of headlines before I let you go. So I just, as usual, I'll spit these things out. You give me your 2 cents. What do you think? How do you feel about this stuff? First thing I came up with is, there's a new Guardians of the Galaxy comic.
Yeah.
It's written by, Donnie, Cates, I believe. Somebody on Twitter asked him about, simply said, can Marvel reboot the Ultimate Universe already or just make a new one, led by, and then they tagged Donnie Cates. And he simply retweeted saying, I am so down. So, if Marvel wanted to, he's on board. He would like to.
So that would be cool, I guess. They're talking about like throwing out everything that happened in the Ultimate Universe and like redoing it, or
either way they're talking
revisiting.
About
revisiting. Are there any Ultimate comics right now?
None, zero.
Okay.
The last was the Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man, who they moved to the main universe.
They moved to the main universe
in the Secret Wars book, but at the end of the second Spider-Man miniseries, which is when Miles was still in the Ultimate Universe and regular Peter Parker was in the regular universe. At the end of that miniseries, you got to see that there were still superheroes in the Ultimate. There was still like an Avengers in the Ultimate Universe made up of a couple of different characters who had survived throughout the timeline of it.
So what separates the Ultimate Universe from...
The Ultimate Universe was a series of books that they started in the year 2000 with the idea of like, look, maybe you don't want to read like 40 years of continuity in Spider-Man. So we're going to start it over in the year 2000. So at the very, like when Peter gets bit by the spider, and he goes on, he Googles you know, like spider powers. And I was like, oh, I can do that. Oh, my God. And figures out that he's Spider-Man kind of thing.
So it's kind of like just updating the stories to modern time.
Yeah. DC did a very similar thing with the New 52, but they didn't, with Marvel and the Ultimate Universe existed alongside your main Marvel Universe. So you could either have your old mainstays or you could have these new versions of the characters, whereas DC just went, you know what? We're going to start out, we're going to do the Flashpoint miniseries where the Flash janks up the whole timeline, and then we're going to start everybody from scratch, essentially.
Well, that's what they promised, but that's not really how it went, though. I obviously didn't read all of the New 52 books.
Sure.
But of the ones that I did read, two of them reset the clock. And everything else was like, we're going to pick and choose the continuity that we want. So that was kind of done very poorly, although... Yeah. As far as business goes, it did very well.
Yeah, that first year or so of New 52 books like sold like crazy.
Yeah, but Justice League had that story arc with written by Geoff Johns, drawn by Jim Lee.
Yep.
And it was they all meeting each other for the first time. So like they all at some I can't remember, it might have been like Batman, Superman are at odds. And they like it takes half of the story arc for them to realize like, "Oh, we're kind of after the same goal here. Maybe we can work together." So
did they unite by the name of having the same mother name? Their moms both having the same name?
No, so whoever penned that movie is the one that gets to be the genius who figured out
right
that they have the same
but
mom.
Yeah, both
mom's name is Martha.
Yeah,
so is mine. My mom's name is Martha too.
Have you ever seen the Pete Holmes bit? It was from.
I can tell you no, I haven't.
Okay, he used to have the Pete Holmes show, and he had a bunch of like it was a lot of sketches and stuff and he would do stuff like X-Men performance reviews and stuff like that, and one of them was he used to do a Batman and he's got one where him and Superman on the roof of a building and they're kind of talking trash a little bit and Superman's like I don't know why we got to do this, but Batman makes fun of him for having his parents die. He's like, well, at least your parents died. And he goes, aren't yours dead too? Yeah. And he starts crying. So it still stands out like one of the funniest things that Pete Holmes has ever done.
Pete Holmes, obviously a huge comic nerd. Because like you said, he used to do the thing where he would dress up as Professor X and do performance reviews on different X-Men.
Which was also really good.
And those were always hilarious because there was always, you know, he's giving Jubilee a bunch of crap because so your thing is fireworks? Yeah, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but no, both Marvel and DC in their own separate realms are very open to the idea of, you know, multiple dimensions and multiple universes.
Yeah, right.
So the Ultimate Universe is just another thing, and it has nothing to do with, you know, the normal books.
I gotcha.
It's totally separate.
I really enjoyed the Ultimate Universe because you got to see a character like Wolverine or Colossus or Spider-Man or some of Spider-Man's villains in a new light because it's a new version of the character.
Okay.
So they would update them somewhat and then maybe, you know, give them a little bit more crazy. Sometimes it didn't work, man. I didn't like Nightcrawler. Ultimate Nightcrawler was a jerk. And I love Nightcrawler in the main X-Men
books. So, for example,
books.
What was Ultimate Wolverine? What was the difference with him compared to...
He was a very similar character, but he actually started out as a villain. He was hired by Magneto to infiltrate the X-Men and ruin them from within.
Okay.
And that lasted like 2 years.
Okay. I was thinking like maybe he's like, well, he's got a different colored spandex and instead of claws coming out of his
hands... It was like black and yellow.
Guns. He shoots bullets from his fists or something. Like, that's not what Wolverine like, but I got you. Okay.
Yeah. No, he was a creep. For the first couple of years, and then it didn't really fly when he decided to be a good guy anyways. And I was like, well, no, you've kind of made me hate this guy because you set up right from the beginning that he's there to infiltrate the X-Men and then destroy them from within by putting Scott and Jean at odds by, you know, wooing Jean and taking her to bed so that Cyclops is like, oh, my girlfriend cheated on me. I don't want to be around her anymore.
My girlfriend cheated on me with a Wolverine.
Right. So, bringing it full circle, what do you think, Al? Would you be interested in a reboot or a continuation of the Ultimate Universe?
I'm certainly open to stuff like that. I do like when they sort of reset something, and if they have to, you know, make it a whole other universe because there are continuity snobs.
Yeah.
I am fine. Like, I've always been fine with, you got a new creative team, and they want to tell a new story. I don't really care if it's 100%, you know, throughout the entire series.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, tell your story. Tell your version of Batman. Like, you know, when Gotham first came out, there were a lot of complaints about how it related to the Batman universe. I'm like, well, this is just their version of the Batman story. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of liking the fact that it was a little bit different.
Yeah, I liked Gotham. I thought, I'm bummed out that it's going away.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they could have gotten some more seasons out of it. Yeah. I mean, I was collecting Spectacular Spider-Man, the recent run,
right,
for a little while because, you know, Dan Slott had that book for so long and there was so much involved that it was kind of difficult to jump into Amazing in the middle of it at that point. So they kind of redid it and said, all right, listen, if you like Spidey, but maybe we're in too deep with Dan Slott, here's another book. And it's like kind of resets it. And they make a little joke about, like, at the very first issue, he kind of, like, runs through the origin story again. I think he's telling Human Torch.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny Storm's like, yeah, I know all this.
I know
why are you, Peter.
why are you telling me?
Why are you telling me this over lunch? He's like, well, you know, it's just because. So I run through it real quick, you know.
Well, on the gaming side, let's talk a little bit about that. I'm super excited because it's the second-ish week of February, which means two new Nintendo games on my Nintendo Switch.
Ooh.
Just found out this morning the games this month are Kirby's Adventure and Super Mario 2.
Oh, cool. One of my favorite, my second favorite Mario.
Yeah.
Mario 3 being the first.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
But I think Mario 2 just holds a special place in my heart because that was the game that was always at my grandma's house.
Yeah.
My aunt or uncle, whoever was there. Well, they had that one.
It's a spectacular game, too, because it's so different from the rest of the Mario games because it wasn't originally a Mario game.
And also, Toad is a beast in that game.
Yes, he is.
He's like, he can pull those vegetables out of the ground faster than anybody.
It's because he's got a low center of gravity.
Yeah.
He's pulling him right up, man.
So Toad and Princess were my two characters.
I had Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3 growing up. What do you mean it wasn't originally a Mario game?
Super Mario 2, over in Japan, the second Super Mario game is what we got over here in the Super Nintendo cartridge. It was called The Lost Levels because it was just like Mario 1, but way harder.
Oh.
Like there were mushrooms that would poison you instead of make you bigger.
Yeah. I remember playing that.
There were warp zones that would take you backwards instead of forwards. So you'd have to memorize that stuff. There was the game originally, Super Mario 2 was originally called Doki Doki Panic. In Japan.
Doki Doki Panic.
And it was just one character. It wasn't the four Mario characters. It was just one dude pulling up vegetables and throwing them in at all these things, stuff like that. But when they went to translate games over to us here in America, instead of giving us Super Mario Brothers 2, because they're like, that game's really brutally difficult. I don't know that audiences are really going to take
it. America's too dumb to handle this game.
I don't know. Japanese audiences didn't really enjoy how difficult this Mario game was. Why don't we take this game?
Yeah.
Give them the Doki Doki Panic.
Put Mario in it.
Oh.
And that's why it's so drastically different. That's why you're pulling up vegetables and throwing them and stuff instead of throwing fireballs and, you know,
your regular Mario stuff. Never knew that.
Hey, you learned something.
I did.
Also in the gaming news.
I'll forget it immediately, but yeah, I did learn something.
Next time it comes up, I'll tell you that story again. You'll be like, wow.
Never forget Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah.
During its quarterly earnings call this week, Take-Two Interactive, makers of Borderlands and Bioshock, released that there's a big secret game coming out before the end of March next year. So everyone's like,
everybody's thinking it's another Bioshock?
Either it's a new Bioshock or it's Borderlands 3.
Okay.
Hmm. Oh, we're supposed to be giving our reactions to this. I want to care because I loved Borderlands so much.
I was going
to
say, I know you were a Borderlands fan.
I loved Borderlands, the first one. Got the second one, played it for a little while, was the exact same game, and I just kind of lost interest, and I never went back to it. Didn't bother with the pre-sequel. So I want to care because I had so much fun with the first time around, but chances are I won't end up getting it. So
yeah.
In reality, I don't care.
Yeah, that's fine.
Were you a Borderlands guy?
Yeah, I tried to get into it. Like, so when my roommate moved to another state to try to stay connected, we both went out and bought the game.
Oh, yeah.
And then just ended up being me following him around, not really knowing what the hell was going on. And then he would play, like, without me. So he'd be, like, way farther into the game than what I was. And I was like, dude, I don't know what I'm doing in the game. And now it's pointless for me to even play. So I like the animation style of the game.
Yeah, right. That is cool.
I like the concept, but I never got into it.
Yeah. Well, like you were mentioning earlier, that Apex Legends game just dropped. Like that was the big surprise this year for the Super Bowl was EA saying, "Hey, so we're working on this Apex Legends game, and you can play it right now.
Yeah,
just download it on your Xbox, your computer, or your PlayStation, and here you go."
Mm-hmm.
When I watched the intro to that game, my first impression,
very Borderlands.
Yeah,
yes.
The animation looks
the
very
animation,
Borderlands. The way the characters all have a different kind of ability, like the one guy puts up a shield in front of them, or the one character can warp from one spot to another. I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. So they all have, like, you know, it's Fortnite meets Borderlands.
Yeah, I don't want to say like Overwatch combined with Borderlands in the realm of Titanfall.
Right.
Bam! That's the recipe.
I still think of Borderlands every time I hear Ain't No Rest of the Wicked from KZ Elephant. Every single time. But it's interesting that you mentioned that you and your buddy got that to stay in touch.
Yeah.
Because that's how my brother and I, you know, my brother moved to Las Vegas in 2006. And for a long time, but, you know, he's got a kid now and he's married, so we don't play games very often anymore online. But that's how we stayed in touch with back here, because we were still at that age where picking up a phone and just calling to say hi was weird.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so, like, we'd hook up online.
Weren't you guys playing the original Red Dead?
Original Red Dead and Call of Duty we would play a bunch.
Yep.
But Borderlands was another one. He was the one who got me onto that game. But, yeah, that's how we stayed in touch with what was happening back home. Because we would talk over the headsets.
Yep, dude, that's one of the great things about video games. Like, the reason why I went to Borderlands to do that was for a while, I moved to Arizona. I was in Arizona for a little over a year, and we stayed in touch by playing a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Can't think of the damn name all of a sudden. It just went right out of my brain.
Yeah, but Call of Duty, a Battlefield, something like that.
Yeah, it was Battlefield. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was for me. It's Diablo 3.
Okay.
I got some friends that not too far away. They're in Ann Arbor, but I don't get to see them as frequently as we would like. So we'll try and make a date like once a week to get together for a couple hours.
Yeah, because you can BS and just play some games.
Yeah,
and
catch up, see what they're doing. But at the same time, you're also punching demons in the face.
Yeah, and you're still leveling up. You know,
right? It's fun times. All right, I got one more thing that I wanted to show you guys. It may be the most horrific video I have ever seen. When I saw it, I'm like, you guys,
gotta
see this.
Pizza?
No, there's not pizza involved, but it does have what they say is a pathetic man-child.
Can we make that full screen by chance, Chuck?
I can do that.
I am partially blind, so.
Yep, no problem. So this dude right here, let me see if there's any audio.
Oh, I saw the title.
Welcome Back, Star Wars.
So this guy took 2,000 Star Wars figures and put them in a fish tank and then covered them in, I believe it's acetone, so that they would melt.
Oh. He didn't have any, Boba Fett's in there, did he?
I thought I saw
Boba Fett.
There's
one!
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There's an Admiral Ackbar in there. Oh, look, they're sinking. They're melting. And there's a Boba Fett.
Oh, my goodness. There's a Yoda.
Yoda!
Empire Strikes Back, Luke, on Hoth.
There's Lando.
Lando.
And they're just turning, they're just melting into plastic goo.
Did he explain why in this video?
Because he's a sick a-hole, that's why.
Look at all that.
I hope somebody tracks him down and just takes a dump all over his childhood dreams.
Yeah, I think this had something to do with the prequels, actually.
Bye, Chewie.
Yep.
It's like the ending of a Terminator 2, except
it's
much sadder.
Yeah.
They're just going away.
Getting lowered into the lava.
So I want him to give a thumbs up.
Yeah, look, there it is!
There it is!
There's
Hoth Luke with the arm is up. And there you go. Now he's just...
Oh.
Hope he's proud of himself.
Just a bunch of trash. He actually...
We turn them into a cube.
They're turning him into a cube now?
Yep, there you go. He's like a brick, a giant brick.
It's done.
Of Star Wars figures.
So much joy, so many memories, has now turned into this.
I hope that man seeks professional help for his mental disability that he has.
Yeah, I came across this video at about 3 a.m. on Monday, and was like, oh, I gotta show them this. This is horrifying.
I would have cried.
All those Star Wars figures.
Here's my thing on this. I'm certainly not an action figure guy, so I mean, it doesn't. I don't care, but what bothers me about that is, like, there's so many people that do like that stuff, and instead of just put it up for sale or something,
give them to me.
Give them to James.
Right.
I'll take donations. I'm not too proud. I'm not too proud to take donations of action figures. Send your action figures to me.
But I don't know. I was asking.
Send your action figures to the Riff. Care of James.
My, one Radio Plaza.
Ferndale, Michigan. 48220. I don't know. I don't like that because there are, it's a troll thing, man. And when you're trying to ruin someone's day and
he's got that smug look on his face, like he thinks he's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
Joke's on him. He spent all the time to track down 2,387 vintage Star Wars action figures just so he could
I know,
melt
right?
them.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Who's more pathetic?
Because it's not like any of them were like mint on the card or anything like that. Yeah. You imagine
how
like,
many garage sales did that guy have to go through to find those?
Yeah.
How much time was he spending at the thrift store to find those? Who's more pathetic, him or the basement dweller?
How many Astronomicons was he at just like scooping up every loose Star Wars action figure?
Where's your dollar bin?
All right, so if we've learned anything, that guy's a dick.
Yeah. No, even not caring at all about action figures, he's a douche.
Yeah.
I think he's a...
All right. Like I said, I thought it was horrific. I expected more of an Al Beck screams of agony and watching that.
But... I mean, if I was into action figures,
if it was
maybe.
MASH action figures.
He'd... Oh, my God!
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
What?!
You do know that.
I might punch James just for saying that. I'm just.
Somebody's destroying all your childhood, man.
Like, I know!
I was trying to think of a character. I'm like, I can't think of a name. I know there's a name that's similar to an Avenger, but I can't think of who it is.
I was going
to
say, you picture like if that was full of MASH action figures and they played Suicide is Painless while they were sinking and turning into,
yes.
into nothing.
Yeah, they got to play the song, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It'd be sad as hell.
I did react poorly when I saw Alan Alda on. Louis C.K. did that show, Horace and Pete, that he released exclusively through his website.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like there were some funny moments, but really it was just dark. It was really dark. And Alan Alda played like this racist old bartender, their uncle. And like he drops like a C-bomb.
Oh, no.
Which I don't mind. I'll say that. I don't care. But right. like it was like.
Not
no.
on this show.
No. No. I don't, yeah. I've come close. But. Yeah, it was so weird to me to hear a Hawkeye talk like that and be vulgar and racist and awful. And so,
like that scene in Anchorman where Chris Parnell's like, "You're doo doo mouth." You and your cocka doo doo mouth.
It's kind of how it was. I was not prepared for that.
All right. Well, hopefully you're prepared to talk some wrestling because Eric is coming in, and it's time for the Squared Circle Roundtable next here on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Officer Alex Murphy. You are listening to Nerd Radio on RIFF2. Stay out of trouble.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, on the B-Pod Studios Network, of course, and on RIFF2 Wednesday nights at 10 p.m., as well as on WRIF.com and Boston...
Alt 92.9.
Boston.com. There you go. Thank you very much, Al. It's time for the Squared Circle Roundtable, and boy, we've got a full room today. Al sticking around, James still here, and Erica coming
in. I made a promise.
You did.
And I'm using two different microphones.
God.
It'd be cool if one was in like left and one was in right, so now Al's like doing circles to people's brains.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me write that down. I'll put that in post there.
Well, in my headphone, I think one mic is a little hotter than the other, so I did come in a little, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Whoa!
Now that we've messed with your head, let's talk about the Elimination Chamber coming up this Sunday, the WWE Elimination Chamber.
Oh, my God, that's why I'm here. I'm being eliminated.
No, not at all.
No, but you're going to put you in the chamber.
Right. What are you guys thinking going into this Sunday? Are you excited? I typically enjoy the Elimination Chamber matches.
I'll be honest, man. I don't even know what the hell is going on. I don't know who's wrestling. I don't know anything about Elimination Chamber. I missed the last couple of weeks of Raw and SmackDown.
It has come very quickly after the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And typically there's a little bit more lead out time. But
I just found out last night, I guess, Becky Lynch is not supposed to be at WrestleMania?
Supposedly.
Is this really what they're going to try to do?
They're going to try and run the Stone Cold Steve Austin playbook of making her the underdog and putting as many roadblocks in front of her as possible.
All because she slapped Triple H.
So she can be the anti-establishment.
Gotcha.
What do you got, Erica?
I'm sorry. I am very out of it, and I apologize. Now, it's been very wonky booking.
No, that's... perfect for this show.
The booking has been very wonky. It seemed kind of obvious they were going to do this to Becky Lynch.
Sure.
So it's like, I'm not very surprised. The reaction online has been hilarious because people are taking it way too seriously.
Right.
It's like, come on, you guys.
Yeah,
come
like, on. Everyone's very kayfabe about it, and they're like, oh my God, I can't play. I'm like, come on, you really think they're going to throw away something that we've been looking forward to since, what, November?
In the meantime,
I'm exactly what I just did a second ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're mocking me or... Is this a...
No.
A skit that I'm not in on?
You're fine. Trust me. Like, if you scroll through Twitter, people are, like, all capsing it. It's very absurd. However, I'm very excited that two of the people on my Fantasy League are probably going to be in the main event of WrestleMania.
I was
going
to say, do you guys want to touch on the Fantasy League? Because you guys
I haven't even checked my standings. I'm still in second.
You guys are killing it.
Okay.
No, you're now in fourth.
What?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Oh yeah, like there.
What happened last night?
A lot of shenanigans happened at SmackDown last night.
I'm in fourth.
I'm still hardly.
Is that up or down, James?
It's down.
Down?
Oh. I was in second.
Right.
I was right behind Erica. Yeah.
I was in last.
I don't think you're in last anymore.
I gotta look this up.
Am I?
Oh wow. Yeah. James is in fourth. I'm in sixth now. All right. Wow. Things changed. Yeah, so
I only have about a 175-point lead on second place, and I don't like that. I really liked the near 200-point cushion I had as of Monday night.
So for those that don't know, there's a website called DropTheBelt.com where you can play Fantasy League, almost like you can play fantasy football, but with wrestlers for a season. We set up a season between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania with the three of us, two of the people from Bounce 105's Top 3 podcast, as well as Ryan from Around the Ring. Over the podcast over at WCSX.com. Just to see which wrestling group is the has the best wrestling fans, and I would say ours, absolutely.
So definitely. Who's in second now?
Ryan. Ryan's in second.
Okay. I like Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, not that I don't like just like the other guys.
The implication.
James bears it all on this episode of Nerd Radio.
I really hope the other guys don't listen to the podcast. I'm going to get some dirty looks in the hallways more than usual.
This is also the only podcast you'll ever hear someone say, I hope someone doesn't listen to this.
Doesn't listen, right.
Please, Jella, don't listen. You seem so nice to me today.
I mean, I'm happy that my long game is starting to work when I've got like Baron Corbin, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, and Dean Ambrose. And those guys are going to be on TV every week. That's my game. But you guys got great drafts. Like, James, you got Sasha Banks and...
Yeah, who was the... What is she now injured?
Elias.
Everybody that I had that was like hot is injured. I'm like, God damn, the Royal Rumble. What'd you do to everybody?
Or no, you got Seth Rollins.
Yeah, who's injured.
Yeah, well...
He might be on TV, but he's not going to be wrestling.
Yeah, but at least he still gets points for being on TV. That's something you have to keep in mind, too. True. When you do stuff like this, because it's not so much the match points that you get. It's who appears on TV and who gets all the various
who does
bonus.
Stuff
yeah.
and
what
who
they, does stuff
right. I think that's probably why Ryan jumped up, because he's got Bobby Lashley and Chad Gable in there, and they both had pretty big matches this
what
past
the hell
Monday.
Did Chad Gable wrestle?
Chad Gable was in the main event on Monday Night Raw, dropping.
Oh,
the
they dropped the belts.
Tag team titles to
the team that I don't care for.
The Revival.
Hot
well,
you over. Don't you don't care.
I
for
just
the
they
Revival?
Don't do much for me. I mean, I think they're talented wrestlers, but I'm not like I love the Revival. I'm just like, oh, it's dudes with cool facial hair and.
Right.
I don't know.
Like, see, that's enough for me. So I'm like, I'm like kind of doughy dad bods with facial hair. I'm like, yeah, that's my jam.
Well, see, I'm total like hunky cheese, man. I want to see big muscular dudes with some weird gimmick, you know, like the Road Warrior and Hawk. You know, I want to see stuff like that. Like, I want like, who was I just watching? I was so at Astronomicon. To touch back on that. There's a dude that does another like wrestling podcast that I was talking to, and he was telling me to check out NXT or whatever.
Yes.
So I was watching an episode, and whoever these Viking guys are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, War Raiders.
Yes!
Yeah, they're great.
War Raiders, yes, more! Like, that's what I love with wrestling stuff,
yeah, but
is that.
Also, doughy guys with facial hair.
Well,
so
true.
It's
true.
My yeah, but the, jam.
They got like the Viking paint, and they got the whole, when they come out, they have like a whole ceremony. I'm like,
yep.
This is intense, man. Do they come out like this every match?
Not every match, but the paint is always involved.
Okay.
It's always sexy.
So, yeah, I like that cheesy stuff. Was it Ascension? Yeah.
I loved Ascension when they were in NXT, but then, of course, they went up to the main roster and they ruined it.
Yeah, well, see, I loved it when they brought him up to the main roster, because I actually saw him, and I was like, yeah, I love the makeup. That's what I love about wrestling is that stuff.
The crazy makeup.
Yeah, the guys that are just really good, and they just look like...
Well, if you like crazy makeup,
guys.
Boy, does Ronda Rousey have something for you.
Uh-oh.
Just what? That she always, whenever she's at the, you know, whenever she's at a pay-per-view, her makeup looks very weird.
She's got some weird eye stuff she does.
Yeah.
She goes crazy with the eyeshadow.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'm afraid she's going to go bald with all the braids she does. Her hair is very pulled tautly.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like it hurts.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about.
I'm super excited, though, because she's Ruby Riott's getting the opportunity to fight her.
Yeah, but like we all know she's not going to win. And that's what it's kind of a bummer for Ruby Riott, because I think she's super talented. And it's good that she's going to have that opportunity to, you know, face Ronda. But like, she's going to get killed.
I was a little upset watching Monday Night Raw because they mentioned two or three times that the entire Riott squad could walk out of Elimination Chamber with gold. And I'm like, don't tease me.
I know. That's mean.
That's not happening. I'd be hype, but don't tease me. That's not going to be a thing.
You shut your mouth, Corey Graves.
Exactly.
You shut it tight.
But there's as typical for these, there's two Elimination Chamber matches. Al, you're an Attitude Era guy, so the Elimination Chamber is probably a new thing for you.
Yeah, I was gonna, you know, right at the beginning of the segment, I was gonna say, you know what? I don't even know what that is. And I was like, I'm new to the Wrestling Roundtable segment. I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut.
Picture Hell in a Cell.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. But you've got on the at the four corners, you've got these extra cages that you put dudes in.
Okay.
Okay. And then two guys start the match, and every 2 minutes or something like that, randomly one of the other cages open and adds one of that guy to the match.
Okay.
And
so picture like go-go dancers at a club.
Yeah.
Sex with Hell in the Cell.
Gotcha.
And they put it on top of a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
Now, do they keep adding people as the match goes?
It's a six-person match. So, there's like I said, there's four chambers. Yeah, there's guys in four matches.
Okay, because that was almost, to me, in my brain, it was almost like Hell in the Cell meets Royal Rumble in that sense.
A little bit of
that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Royal Rumble in there as well, but it's just the six guys, and then the last man standing is the winner.
Also, keep in mind the chamber itself. You know how, like, usually with Hell in a Cell, they have the outside of the ring where, like, that's open? That has, like, metal over it and various grating, so people do, like, body slams on that. It's super painful.
Yeah, instead of the cell being cyclone fence, it's chain link.
Yeah.
So, gotcha. You know, to make it look even more brutal. So it's, you know, it looks like a great toy. Is what it is. I'm sure the wrestlers are not psyched to work in it.
No.
But it looks like kids everywhere are going to want one every Christmas. And that's why
they have that action figure playset yet?
Oh, yeah.
They have to.
Yeah.
I need to spend some more time in the wrestling action figure aisle. Well, Toys R Us is no longer around. I guess I got to
Target.
Spend more time on Amazon.com.
Walmart, perhaps.
Yeah.
But they're doing a men's elimination chamber match for the SmackDown title. We got Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Samoa Joe, and now Kofi Kingston instead of Mustafa Ali, who had a hell of a match Tuesday night on SmackDown.
So what's up with Kofi Kingston? Does he speak with an accent or not?
Not anymore.
Because I was briefly watching again, and he was from Jamaica, and all of a sudden one day just came out and was like, I'm just talking now, and they never addressed it.
Somebody did. I can't. There was a very famous promo where I think it was Triple H was in the ring with Kofi Kingston. It's like, where'd your accent go?
That's awesome.
And they never talked about it ever again.
Would be Triple H. He's hilarious.
Right. But that's going to be the men's Elimination Chamber match. And then on the girls' side, it's the tag team Elimination Chamber match. Weird that we're establishing the women's tag team in a match where there's no tags.
Oh, my God.
That's a hell of a point.
Mind blown.
Yeah,
right.
You just blew both our minds. I'm like, oh, my God, he's right.
Yeah, but on the SmackDown side, you got the Iconics. You got Naomi and Sasha, or Naomi and Carmella. And then you've got, not the Riot Squad, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. And then on the Raw side, you've got the Riot Squad with Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, Nia Jax and Tamina, and then Bayley and Sasha Banks. You guys got any predictions?
As long as it's not Nia or Tamina, I'd be fine with any of those pairings, to be honest with you.
I don't see how it can't be anybody but those two to win. Like, come on, those two could beat the crap out of me in like an army of 12.
Yeah.
They're so ass-achingly dull. It's so
bad.
Yeah,
they are quite boring.
They're very boring.
Yeah, the only time there's excitement is if Nia messes up and punches somebody in the face.
Right. Or accidentally drops somebody on their head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm predicting the Iconics.
I hope they... I would be the most happy.
I think the Iconics win the titles the first time, and then at WrestleMania, we get our big WrestleMania moment with Sasha Banks and Bayley, where they'll win it. But you got to have bad guys at first.
True.
And I've recognized four names this entire segment.
Four?
Four.
Well,
nice.
Is it because you brought up Triple H or one?
Yeah.
And you just know Ronda Rousey from UFC?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. I don't even know her from wrestling.
But, so that's the two big Elimination Chamber matches. The Usos are going to fight Shane McMahon and The Miz. The Usos always put on a great match, man.
And then, they're fun to watch.
Yeah, The Miz is going to be
awesome. Actually,
there.
I enjoy watching The Miz and Shane McMahon, too.
Yeah.
Which usually I would be like, crap, I don't want to watch this. Garbage.
But now I'm like, yeah, I want to see what these guys got, especially after seeing Shane at Royal Rumble. Like, I was so impressed.
Unreal. The Shooting Star Press, I'm sure you guys talked about that already, but like when that happened, what I said, you'd have to bleep anyway. So,
I'd forgotten that was part of his repertoire. I haven't seen it in years.
Has he ever done a show? No, I don't
think. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Back in the day, I remember him doing it once or twice and being like, wow, that's impressive, Shane.
He's damn near 50.
I know.
It's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, wow.
Man, that means I'm pretty old, too.
Finn Balor fighting both Bobby Lashley and Lio Rush for the Intercontinental title, which means he could pin Lio Rush and win the title. Bobby Lashley wouldn't be anything. And then Baron Corbin's going to get killed by Braun Strowman, because why not?
Be good times.
Yeah, there's some stuff to definitely be excited about, and then there's some stuff that's like, eh. So we'll have to wait and see, but it's the road to WrestleMania, so it's always interesting. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, Becky's the hottest thing in wrestling right now. Does she show up? And if she does, what happens?
Well, she has to.
Well, she'll show up and get arrested. And
right.
Yeah.
And she'll drive a Zamboni through the crowd.
Oh, I can't wait.
It won't be a Zamboni. It'll be something else similar to a Zamboni that's
not completely stone cold.
Yeah.
No, like, they got to have her drive something. They got to come on.
Tweak just enough.
Yep.
Trying to think. Do we know? Where's the pay-per-view happening?
What
venue?
Look.
Do we know?
I don't.
Darn it.
Houston, Texas, at the Toyota Center.
She's gonna roll in riding a bull.
Houston, there you go,
like a rodeo clown.
She'll come in. I want to. You know what? I want her to come out at WrestleMania to Johnny Cash's "When the Man Comes Around," because she's been using it as a hashtag ever since she started being the Man.
Oh, really?
And that song is great.
Well, WWE's got enough money to probably get the rights to that. I guess it would depend on the family wants to allow it.
Well, they forked over enough rights for Joan Jett's reputation
for like a year.
Yeah.
So, there you go. We're a little lukewarm on the Elimination Chamber, but like I said, there's definitely a couple of matches in there that we're probably going to be super psyched about. Erica, I know you're just frothing at the mouth to talk about some All Elite Wrestling, though.
Well, I mean, aren't I always? Come on.
Educate me. I want to learn more about this All Elite.
Okay.
Besides knowing Jericho's there and Cody Rhodes.
Cody, well, I mean, Cody.
The Young Buck. So yeah, I'm trying to think of just the names that I always see. I'm so sick of seeing AEW on Twitter.
Yeah, Neville is going to be part of it.
Kenny Omega's officially on board, as if we didn't already know, even though people were thinking, well, he left New Japan Pro Wrestling, like, oh, he's going to do a run with WWE. Screw you. No, he's not. Come on. Like, he'd have to change everything about his personality and his skill set. That would never happen. But what I really like about AEW is the fact that there's been a lot of talk about them raiding WWE and their talent. They are going to various indies, getting people that would never get picked up by WWE and are trying to build a brand like that. I think they're more or less trying to prove, like, yeah, we can still survive and not have to raid your territory. We're going to do our own thing and still be successful.
Every time it's getting ridiculous, because every week there's at least two new WWE talent that's like, oh, their contract's coming up. I bet they're going to AEW. Last week it was like, AEW's been in talks with a major WWE talent. And 24 hours later, it's like, and that talent is Randy Orton. I'm like, what?
Well, they're teasing something. There's some sort of match at Double or Nothing with Cody Rhodes and someone. If you've been watching any of their YouTube series about the lead up to Double or Nothing, there is something that's being teased.
So is that the only way you can watch anything that's going on?
With AEW,
yes. YouTube?
Yes. So currently right now, anything involving AEW, they have the Being the Elite YouTube series, and then they have a special, I don't recall the name off the top of my head, but it's attached to Cody Rhodes's YouTube page, just basically the lead up to Double or Nothing.
Okay.
And it kind of does like behind the scenes type stuff. Gotcha. And like some like minor skits here and there, but that's how they're building up to this show.
Because I'm trying to figure out how they're going to do this show. Like, how, because obviously WWE, there's two shows a week that's televised, everybody watches to tell the story, to lead up, to build up to everything, to the pay-per-view. But how are they going to do that at AEW? So it's all through like YouTube.
Pretty much. Well, that's how most of the buildup was for All In back in September.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And All In is one of the first time I heard about any of this stuff. And then all of a sudden some billionaire guys got Cash, the guy that owns the Jackson and Jaguars or whatever.
They are talking about at some point next year having a TV deal somewhere.
Gotcha.
They just haven't locked down.
Because I know there's another wrestling league that's on Twitch. So I'm like, how can I watch? I want to watch. See if, is this something that I'm going to be interested in?
I think,
or is this
really
something that I'm just going to keep reading Twitter, posts about?
Isn't Joey Ryan?
Joey
essentially
Ryan.
Ali
Master Dong style.
Yeah.
Well, Joey Ryan, I think, is under contract with Lucha Underground until 2020. But once that contract, you know, expires, I guarantee you, he's going to sign with AEW.
Cool.
All hey, right?
man.
Yeah.
Master of the dark penal arts.
Yep.
He's cool in my book.
As soon as I saw Joey Ryan, I was like, well, there's a wrestler for James.
Yeah. Right there. I was like, I was a Joey Ryan fan before I even knew who Joey Ryan was. It was
right.
just a random clip on the internet of him doing the penis flip on somebody. And I was like, that's clever. And then I found out he's like legitimate wrestler. I thought it was just a random thing, like
right.
some independent show in some city. Some guy's like, grab my wiener and I'm going to make it look like it's hurting you. But no, he's real.
Joey Ryan's awesome.
King
and
of sleaze.
Very smaller than I thought. Like not that much taller than me, to be honest with you.
I was like.
You're like.
Got wiener picks out there, too. Like, I'm going to take a gander. I'm curious just to see what he's working with. To see the master of the dark penal arts, what's he packing?
Just a gander.
Yeah. Just a gander. A light gander.
I'm like, is he more than a mouthful?
That seems like a great place to end this week's Nerd Radio.
There's your title, too.
All right, as always, hit us up on our social media, Nerd Radio 101. Erica, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
talking
Erica.
A little bit of
it's
wrestling.
Always a pleasure.
We'll look forward to hopefully a couple of surprises this weekend at Elimination Chamber, and hopefully all of our wrestling teams will our fantasy leagues will gain all the points.
Well,
I want to join you guys up in the upper echelon of the top three.
It's nice up there.
Erica, help us.
Help us.
Help us, Erica.
I'm like, please.
Who's a free agent that we can draft
to
be better?
I have to take a look because I've gotten some really lucky picks through free agency.
All right. Nerd Radio comes back next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out.
Oh, I bet they did.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Hello.
You caught us between segments.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
You good?
Sure.
Sounds accurate.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.